want to ask you just to kind of consider today. What's your relationship? I mean, who are you in Jesus Christ? Do you ever stop to think about who you are in Christ? I mean, we know we have the relationship. We know that he died for us. We know that he rose again. We know that by his sins, we have been redeemed and made whole. We know we have now that access to the Father that we didn't have before. I mean, we know all that. But have you ever stopped to think about who you are in Christ? Not just your relationship, but who you are in him. Because of him. And how does the Father, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, how does your Heavenly Father, how does he view you? You know, it's kind of amazing when you stop to think about it, because God does view us, and we don't think of it this way. But when you hear people saying, you know, God loves you, how many times have you heard people say that? And it's like, okay, well, that's good. I mean, we're happy to know that God loves us. That feels good. But I don't think we stop to realize the depth of what that means when the Bible tells us that God loves us. When someone encourages you and says, God loves you. If you've ever had somebody just have a word of knowledge sent to them where they say, God, just let me know to tell you how much he loves you. What does it mean when God loves you? What's the depth of that? Let me just take you to John chapter 17, verse 3. Because I don't think we see ourselves the way that God sees his relationship with us. And in John chapter 17, verse number 23, it says, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Now this is Jesus praying. This is Jesus praying to God the Father for you and I on our behalf. That the world may know that thou hast sent me. Now listen to this. And hast loved them as thou hast loved me. How much does God love you? Jesus is saying, as he's praying here, he is thanking God the Father, and he's thanking God for the fact and acknowledging that because of his sacrifice, because of what he's going to do, God the Father, as he loves Jesus, he loves you and I. What is the depth of God's love for you today? We talk about love, and we talk about it in terms of our understanding, of our natural relationships, of those that we love. You know, the people that you love in this world, even the people you are most intimate with, your spouse, your children, you know, there's still times that you get angry with them. There's still times that you've got separation from them. There's still times that you don't feel that oneness with them. Even someone who's been married for 50 years, you're going to go through times in that marriage relationship where you're always one, but you're not going to feel that oneness just because of the flesh. Just because of the natural things that sometimes take preeminence, they shouldn't, but they do take preeminence over the spiritual truths in our lives. Sometimes we allow the natural to control and direct. And so because that's our experience and that's what we understand love to be, that's what we apply it for God as well. And that is not the way that God loves you. How much did God the Father love Jesus Christ? Well, you can see. You can see through reading the New Testament. Well, you can see through the Old Testament the love that he has for his son. Jesus is part of the Trinity. But as a man walking on this earth, as the Lord incarnate, as the Lord here, as the Son of God, you can see the love of the Father for the Son. And this is, Jesus is saying, as thou hast loved me, that you love them as thou hast loved me. In the Amplified, it says it this way. You sent me that you have loved them even as you have loved me. How's that for drawing a comparison? God loves you even as he loved and loves Jesus the Son. That's amazing. See, you and I are still incarnate. You and I still are in this flesh. You and I still live in this flesh. But Jesus, as God incarnate, God the Father loved him. And even as he loved him, he loves you today. That's the depth of the love. Now, if God, the creator of all the world, if the one who holds all this universe together, from the smallest little subatomic particles that we don't even begin to understand and certainly can't even see, we can just figure out their existence because of mathematics. We don't understand how it even works. He holds all those things together. It's a mystery to us. To the largest things in the universe, galaxies beyond galaxies, and all that it takes to hold those together, and all that huge vastness. He holds it all together. The creator of all that loves you with that same depth. That is amazing. And that's why it also says, if you understand who you are in Christ, you understand that joint heir relationship, tell you what, it changes the way you view things. Because God the Father, God your Heavenly Father, is not looking at you and judging you based upon your failures, your shortcomings, and your lack of obedience. Now, understand, He's expecting us to be obedient. He's expecting us to be the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But when He looks at you, He's not seeing your failures because He has Jesus Christ, who was the sacrifice, who was the perfect sacrifice for us. And so the blood of Jesus has taken all that away. All of that. You know, even if you had some kind of a major failing, if you just robbed a bank 10 minutes ago, you know what? God still loves you. Nothing has changed. And the forgiveness is still there. You have to reach out and take it, but that forgiveness is always there because that forgiveness is always there in Jesus Christ. When God the Father looks at you, He's looking at you through the lens, or if you will, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Here's the analogy, and I've probably used it before on the air, but it still helps me to explain it. My wife and I collect cobalt blue glass. We love cobalt blue glass. And because of that, my stepfather once bought, just as something as an icon to have around, there, these glasses where the lenses are like the deepest cobalt blue you can possibly imagine. So when you put these glasses on, everything you look at is blue, because that's just how deep that cobalt blue is of those lenses. And so if you look at the grass is blue. If you look at a red car, that red car is blue. It doesn't matter what you look at. When you look at it through the lens of these glasses, you see it blue because you're looking at it through the lens of these cobalt blue glasses. It's the exact same way that God the Father looks at you. When God is looking at you, He's putting on His Jesus glasses, and He's viewing you through the blood of Jesus Christ, and all of your sins are forgiven. They're covered. So He's looking at you with love, and there's nothing that stands between you and His love. Nothing stands between you and His love except your and my acceptance of that love. It is poured out, but we have to accept it. This is the way that God looks at you. There's a verse in Romans that talks about being a joint heir. Romans 8:17. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. Well, I'll read it from the King James. And if children, because the context is talking about us being children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we also suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. In the Amplified it says, and if we are His children, then we are His heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing His inheritance with us. This is who you are in Christ. I know sometimes it's hard for us to accept fully all the blessings, all the good things, all the promises that lie here in the Word of God for us. It's hard for us to accept it because we know in ourselves that we don't deserve these things. And so it's hard for us to accept, and it's hard for us to understand that God, our Heavenly Father, that Jesus Christ loves you so much that He provided these things for you by His sacrifice, and that the Father looks at you and sees you with that perfect love. He sees you with the same love that He has for the Son, Jesus. And now here in Romans 8:17, and if we are His children, hey, if you've accepted Jesus Christ and His sacrifice in your life, if you accepted that, then you are a child of God. So this is talking about you. You can put your name in here. And if we are His children, if you, fill your name in, are His child, then you are His heirs also. You. This is a legal document. This is more powerful legal document than a will, a last will and testimony. You are heirs also. You, put your name in, are heirs of God, and you are fellow heirs. You are a fellow heir with Christ. You are sharing His inheritance with Him. That means all these promises, when we talk about promises for God taking care of all your needs, your financial needs, your job needs, your family needs, your emotional needs, your healing needs, all those things are already taken care of because you are a joint heir. Now listen, I know a lot of people struggle when I say stuff like this because you think to yourself, man, you're saying that I'm like Jesus Christ. Well, in the eyes of God the Father, he loves you with that. And because of Jesus Christ, and because of what Jesus did, not because of what you did, there is absolutely nothing that you and I can do to deserve this or earn this. Absolutely nothing. But because of what Jesus did, he made us joint heirs with him. Listen, if you're a joint heir, that means all of these things that Jesus provided, he provided for you. And as he has obtained and possesses all these things, so can you possess these things. In fact, he wants you to. He did it for you. It should stir us to have the desire to fully possess all of those things, to know who I am in Christ Jesus. I am a joint heir with him in all that he has possessed. I'm a joint heir. So what is your need today? You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's the promise of the Word of God. From the Father who loves you, and through your Savior who loves you so much that he sacrificed and grabbed you by the hand to say, now I did this for you. Now you come and enjoy all the things that I have possessed because I've possessed them to share with you. They are yours. Let's believe for those things today.